Okay, before I preach, I got a word for you now. I got a word for you. Okay? So if you get just a little sleepy before I start, you know, did it seem like sort of different today that it wasn't like Sunday? You know, it's really sort of strange. It's like, you know, it's like it's not supposed to be Sunday today, but it is Sunday today. But you know, it's really interesting. So you might be just, if you just get a little draggy, just, you know, you can stand up or just go to the back, you know, it's okay. It's a really good word for you, okay? But before we bring it, here's just something I wanna add a word of emphasis to. Kenny talked about what's happening in Lifeline. You know, I'm not. The details, you can go read about the details. Here's why I would ask you to consider it. We're going to be studying the book of John. The book of John is the most powerful book to me in the scriptures. You know, the book of John closes and John says something like, "These things I have written that you might believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and having believed in him, you might have life in his name." It's something like that. He closes the book and he also says something like, if all the things were written about Jesus Christ, he says the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And it's like John's gospel is a gospel that is for the heart. John's gospel is not about the what of Christ, but about the who of Christ. And so, for example, if you're struggling to try to know who Christ is, John's gospel is the gospel you ought to go to. If you want to know how someone has a relationship with Jesus Christ, has a relationship with God, John's gospel is the gospel you should go to. If Sherry's talking about growing, being intentional about spiritual growth, you want to be intentional about spiritual growth, let me tell you how you do that. You study the book of John. The book of John is a powerful, powerful expression of God's Holy Spirit to his people. And that expression is so that you might have life and might have it abundantly. Okay? And so, for example, you know, if you say, well, you know, Pastor Cooper, I'm not quite sure how to study the book of John. The amazing thing to me is that we're going to be using the Ann Graham Lott study series. And what it will do is show you how to study the Bible. So what we have is the Gospel of John and the Ann Graham Lott's method to teach you how to study the Bible. So we got the best food you could have and the way you eat it. So that's it. It's something you ought to want. It's something that you ought to, you know, I tell you, it'll be good. It'll be good. How many people I've witnessed to over the years, and what I've said is, here's what I want you to read. Read the Gospel of John. It'll be good. It'll be good. So, open the Gospel of John. Yeah, I read about what Abel told us about. That in Nigeria, two separate groups, two separate Christian churches in Nigeria were worshiping on Christmas Eve. And in one situation, 31 believers in one church were killed. Hundreds were wounded. Also, by Muslims. Sometimes what happens if you, so many people this morning woke up and they assume that we weren't going to have church. You don't realize that last night there were all these churches canceling services? On the radio, announcing canceling services because of a threat of snow? Let me ask you a question. If I cancel this church service for a threat of snow, what would that tell me about the food that I have for you? It would tell you it wasn't necessary. It would tell you it's almost irrelevant. It would say, if we cancel this church service because of a threat of snow, it would say, it should communicate to you, this is just my view, okay? I'm not trying to judge the pastors that made that decision or the chairmen of deacons that made that decision, but I just tell you something. You know, if I didn't believe that what I had to tell you this morning was worthwhile, why would I be here? Well, you do pay me. I know that's a reason. But, I'd still be back in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, making lots of money. And you do pay me pretty good, too. But I'm saying what the Word of God matters. The Word of God matters. And what I want you to know What I want you to know is that from my heart of hearts, I believe that what I have to say to you matters. It matters. It matters when you come. It matters the state of mind that you come in. It matters, you know, and of course, I've even said this before. You know, if I'd rather have you in here sleeping than home sleeping. Okay, I would. I'd rather have you in here sleeping than home sleeping. Okay, but I'd rather have you in here alert and taking notes. Okay, not because I'm such a great preacher. No, because that, the Word of God's worth taking notes about. Okay, and so, you know, God's given us this time. He's given us this time because, hey, you know what? He's got something to tell you. You know, what's God going to tell you this morning? And you know, it's like Joseph and Mary and no room in the inn. You know, you've got to have room for God this morning. Okay? You know what? Clear your mind. Don't worry about the ravens. What time do they play today?
1 o'clock, sir.
Oh, 1 o'clock, sir. Oh, man, we got an hour and 15 minutes. Okay, so... You know, we got plenty. You don't have to worry about the game. It's going to be waiting for you. And the food's going to be waiting for you. And we got now just the food of the Lord. Okay? It's like we're going to the buffet line here. You know, and here's the one thing about this buffet line. God wants you to take a piece of something. He wants to take you a piece of everything. He wants you to get full. Now, let me ask you. Okay, here we go. Let's read John 1. I'm going to read these verses. I'm going to come back. I'm going to make a few points about them. John 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You know, right out of the gate in that verse, there are things that we cannot understand about that verse. Because think about it. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How can something be with God and be was God? You know, it's like, I don't get it, Lord. It's like, how can it be with? Because if it's with, that means separate. Distinct from. Yeah, then it says, and the Word was God. How is that? You know? It's like, see, that's a powerful. Hey, John's gospel. You know that John was the only disciple that he described himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Four times. That's the way John describes himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. I think there are things that are John, who was it that wrote Revelation? Who was it that was given the revelation? John. Who was it that was given these words? John. How come? You know what? Somehow. Okay. So if you want to, why should you make it your intent to grow in Christ? Why should you make that your intent to grow in Christ, to love Christ, to know Christ, to follow Christ, to walk in His light? Because you know what happens is that it's what we said before. The bigger your Christ. The bigger your Christ, right here, the bigger your Christ, the bigger He is, the grander He is, the more wonderful He is, the more powerful He is, the more exalted He is, the more magnificent He is, the more awesome He is, the bigger your Christ. Directly related to that will be your experience of life. Abundant life. It is in John's gospel that we read Jesus saying, "I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly, might have it to the full." The bigger your Jesus, the bigger your God, the bigger Christ, the more you will experience Him. Okay? Okay, so here we go. We read the first verse. Here's what it says next. It's interesting. It says, he was in the beginning with God. Well, who is He? He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him. That's interesting. All things came into being by Him. Whoever the Him is, He's the one that's created everything. Well, wait a minute. I thought God was the creator. Who is Him? All things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? You know, we need to know who this is that He's talking about, because it says nothing's come into being that's come into being except by Him. That means the seen and the unseen, the visible and the invisible, invisible. That means that this one has created all these things. How big is your Jesus? In Him was life. There you go, verse 4. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness could not stop it. The darkness could not overpower it. The darkness, because the light, you know what's interesting? You know, the darkness is simply the absence of light.
That's all darkness is. Darkness has no definition in and of itself. It is simply the absence of light. Remove a light from a dark place and a darkness will fill up the space. You know what happens to believers in Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what happens to us. Is that we forget that Christ is to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's not Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so what happens is we take those baby steps away from Him. The church loses its sense of how to worship Him. Okay? You know what? You come into this church, you come into any church, what you should experience is a people whose hearts are dedicated and committed to the glorification of the only begotten Son of God. And if that's not happening, something's wrong in that body of Christ. Okay? Something's wrong in that body of Christ because we exist to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Okay? It's like, you know what? I love it when Cher, sometimes she just stop us. You know, I know how, you know, we used to have seats up here. And all, you know, it's the way we used to do church. I'd have a chair here, no, two chairs. Dennis Kluckman would sit right here. I would sit right here. Then we'd have two chairs on the other side. You know, and here's what we'd do. The music person would be standing up there, and we'd just be standing here, and, you know, lollygag, lollygag, lollygag. You know what? If I had to watch, take me 15 years ago, if I had to watch me worship, I just won't go to sleep. I'm serious. What happened? If there's life in Christ, in Him was life, how come I don't have life? Something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with that picture. If the Holy Spirit, not if, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to bring testimony of the Christ. He bears witness of the Christ. He bears witness of the Christ. And that's not a little Christ, okay? That's not, the Holy Spirit does not bear witness of a little Christ. The Holy Spirit does not bear witness that Christ would be something other than King of Kings. No, we have done that. We have done that. We have made Him something other than King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No, that's what we've done, see. Holy Spirit bears witness. He's Christ. Holy Spirit brings Him glory. He brings Him glory. You know, I can't say it too much. If when you come in, when you're worshiping, you know what? If you're not glorifying God. There's something wrong with the picture. And why is that so important? Why do I keep banging on that nail? Because I'll tell you why. Because I've experienced life. And I've learned that when I give God glory, I experience life. It's like what goes around comes around. Spiritually, what goes around comes around. You say, you know, preacher, I don't know how to sing. Well, excuse me, what's that got to do with it? Does the Bible say that the one who has a voice is to glorify Christ? And all the rest of you just sit there and don't glorify Christ? Is that what the Bible says? No, it doesn't say that at all. No. No, no, we've trained ourselves. We've trained ourselves that to give glory to Christ means you have the permission to just show up. I don't think so. Okay, here we go. Let's see what else he says. And the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now look at verse 9. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. Isn't that an interesting thing? The world was made through him, but the world didn't know it. You know, it's like a child. You know, last night I was at my youngest son Dave's house. And my oldest son is here. This is my oldest son. John, will you stand up just a minute? A lot of folks don't know you. This is my oldest son, John. Isn't he handsome just like his daddy? Okay, you can sit back there. Okay, this is Miller's place, and then there's Carson, then there's Jade. So anyway, and there's my sweet, beautiful wife. And so we were all last night at Dave's house, okay? And all the grandchildren, I mean, oh my goodness. Kipling got a set of drums for Christmas, okay? Kipling is, I think, two. What is it, two? A little over two. Got a set of drums, okay? We got Kipling on the drums. We got Carson on the drums. We got Jade on the drums. I mean, I'm telling you what, it was mass bedlam. And I was standing there by the fire, and I'm listening to all these sounds, you know, sounds of grandchildren and drums. And it just, I mean, it's like a crescendo. I believe they could have heard us at the end of the street. You know, and it's like, and I'm standing there at one point, I just start smiling. Nobody knows it but me. You know, I just start smiling. And I see my sons and their wives and their children, now my grandchildren. And I just get blessed just looking at the creation of God. And I am the poppy. What am I saying? I got blessed simply looking at my children. Now, my grandchildren, I don't really think they got blessed looking at Poppy. Okay, now Poppy can be a blessing, but sometimes he's, you know, he's an old fuddy-dud. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, you know, it's like, it's interesting. The Creator gets blessed looking at His creation, whereas sometimes the creation doesn't look back to Him and feel the same blessing. It's like He says here. See, he says, He was in the world. The world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. What kind of deal is that? God made the world, and we don't know Him? It's like, doesn't compute. That can't be. How is it possible that God could make the world? You know, that's why Romans 1 talks about God making the world. And He says it's like what's called general revelation. You look up into the heavens and you know that this stuff is not by accident. This stuff did not just happen. This stuff is here because there is a creator. There is design in this creation. Okay? There is design. And so you know there's a creator. Yet, and what it says is that God made it evident to us so that no one has an excuse when they stand before Him. You realize that? You know, I've mentioned this to you. I don't have time. Okay. You know what that means? When you breathe your last, you breathe your last breath, you're not going to be able to stand in front of a holy God and say, well, you know what? Nobody told me. Because that's what general revelation is. General revelation is we look into the heavens. We look at these human beings. We look and we see, wait a minute, I got 10 fingers. I don't have 2 on this hand and 7 on this hand. I got 5 and 5. Hey, you know what? I got 2 eyes. I got 2 ears. You ever someone, I heard someone say sometime, what if God created us and turned our nose upside down and it rained? Well, what would we do? I said, no, see, my nose is designed so when it rains, I don't choke. I don't, you know. Why is that? That's design. It's design. Well, we know God is present. We know He's real. Why is that? He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him. That's why. He wants you to know Him. And when we stand before Him, nobody's going to have an excuse. Well, you should have told me. No, He's all He tells you. Just look at your nose. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, here we go. He says, verse 12, but as many as received Him, look at that, I like that, as many as receives them. He's not going to make you receive Him. Okay? Receive is a gift, right? It's like I give you a gift and you open it. Now, you can keep your hands closed. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift. What are you going to do? I'm not keeping my hands behind my back. I'm going to keep my hands behind my back. I don't want to receive your gift. Hey, you know what? That's what God says. As many as received Him. Hold your hands out. Open your hands. See? Open up the gift. So, nobody told me. Oh, come on now. Yeah, it's right up there. You know what? You don't have to have a Damascus Road experience. Okay, here we go. Okay, give me 2 seconds. We take a 5-second stand-up break. 5 seconds. Come on, stand up. 5, 4. Come on, stand up. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, shake it out. You ready? Ready to go back? Okay, you can sit back down. 5 seconds, we're done. We'll go back to the text. Okay? Okay, here we go. It says, many as received Him. Got to open your hands. To them he gave the right to become children of God. It's the right to become children of God. I open my hands. I have the right. The right. You understand that? You realize that? God has given you the right to know Him. If you have received Christ, He has given you the right. That's something you take possession of. That's not something that's just reserved for me. It's not something just reserved for this gentleman right here. It's the right. He gives that to you. He gives, He promises. That is the promise of God, to give you the right to know Him. Gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh. And the Word, what in the world is the Word becoming flesh? My Bible, how does my Bible become flesh? Isn't that the Word? I thought this was the Word. How does the Word become flesh and dwell among us? And we beheld His glory. You know what that means? It says we saw Him. We saw Christ. We saw Him. We beheld His glory. We need, no question. You know, we don't have to look up into the sky and tell me that God exists. But look at the Christ. Look at Him. I beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Look down at verse 18. No one has seen God. No one has seen God at any time. Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. I don't have time. But it's, no, I'm not going. I'm sorry. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God. Muhammad did not see God. I don't have time to go there. He did not see God in his night journey. No man has seen God. If for anyone to declare that he has, it is a blasphemy to God. It's a blasphemy. An absolute blasphemy. That's what that is. It is a blasphemy of the only begotten Son of God for Muhammad to declare that he stood in the presence of God. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. He has explained Him. Okay, now look. Go back to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Okay? The meaning of in the beginning is, in the beginning, before you and I came into existence. Okay? That is way back when. That's before you and I were even on the books, so to speak. That was before you and I had ever taken, that was before Adam ever breathed his first breath. That was before Eve was ever created. It says, in the beginning. Colossians 1 talks about the fact that Christ was the creator before time, before things were done. And so what he's saying, relative to the meaning of the Word, in the beginning, means before human existence, before anything took place, what was present in the beginning was the Word. Okay? The Word. Here's what that word means. In the Greek, it is the word logos. It is a word that has been translated and explained by scholar after scholar as things like reason and understanding and knowledge. And it's, but all of those words, they fall short. Okay, so in the beginning was the reason of God. In the beginning was the understanding of God. It's interesting to me, that word has been translated like this. It's been translated seven times. Logos. It's been translated as account. Like, you know, in the beginning was the account. What do you mean the account? What was it? What's accounted? It's been translated 10 times as a message. In the beginning was the message. Okay, you know what I'm doing? I'm giving you a message. Okay, it's not one sentence. It's not one sentence and it's not one point. You know, my messages never go that way. You know, I've got 5 or 10, 20 different points. It depends on what's going on right there at that moment. Okay? You know, it's like in the beginning was a message. The message is the full content of what is said. And the logos, that word in the beginning was the message. It's translated 18 times as statement. In the beginning was the statement. What in the world is that? It's been translated as a word, that embodies an idea. That's an interesting way to think about it. In the beginning was the Word that is like the embodiment of an idea. Okay, let me illustrate for you. Let's think about it like that just for a moment. Okay, come on now. Come with me now. Just come with me. I'll keep it interesting. You just got to stay with me, though. Okay? In the beginning was a Word that was the embodiment of an idea of God. Okay, now think about this. Tell me the name that you think when I say the following. Microsoft. Bill Gates. Bill Gates had the idea. Right? Okay? Ford. Henry Ford. Airplane. What was that? Wright Brothers. Okay, what am I doing? So what I'm doing is I'm giving you a word that is a result of somebody else's idea. Okay? Okay? Time to time, staff people come into my office and they'll say, I have an idea. Sometimes that's good. But in almost every time, I think, oh my goodness, what is coming next? Okay, you see this up here? Yeah, that's right. He's laughing. Okay, he said, why? Yeah. I have an idea. So what happens is someone has an idea. So once you have an idea, then you have a plan. You know, the plan is how you accomplish the idea. It's how that idea sort of gains its, it sort of has a, you know, it takes a skeleton and gives it flesh. You know, it sort of takes the idea off the drawing board and makes it real. Okay, now think about that in this context. It says, in the beginning, before anything existed at all, was the idea, was the plan, was the concept. What concept? What in the world concept could he be talking about? What in the beginning, before you and I were created, before the universe was made, before I was born, before it was even planned, what is the Logos? Before we ever came into existence, God had a plan. He had an idea. He reasoned it this way. Can I create a people called by my name? How can I create a people who can freely receive me, love me? How can I create a people who will come to me because they want to know me? You remember Augustine's words? It goes something like this. O God, thou hast created us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee. You know what that means? What that means is this. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. You know what that means? I'll tell you something. You may think that this is a crazy Baptist preacher up here. But I'll tell you who he is. He's a man who has come to understand that in Jesus is life, satisfaction, abundance. That's I've come to understand that in Jesus Christ, all things fulfilled. That's what I know. And the marvel, this is good. Come on now, stay with me. In the beginning was the Word. God said, How am I gonna create a people for myself whose hearts are restless until they find their rest in me? Let me see how I will do it. First, God's got the plan before we ever existed. In fact, if you look at Revelation 13:8, you know what you will find? It says that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Think about it. If The only way my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know what that means? I like this. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's suppose this was a huge book. Let's just bring it down to our most basic level. Let's suppose this was a book and the only thing it had in it was names. Don't think it's got any of his names. And the people's names who are in it are those who have eternal life and will spend eternity with God. Okay? And they will experience eternity life with God beginning the moment they're born again. Okay? You know what that says? That however many years, if you're a young earth person, then maybe it was 10,000 years. If you're an old earth, it was 15 billion. But whatever it was, before creation began, you know what? There was a book. And in that book, there is a line. And on that line, there is a name, Joseph Kipling Smith. Because the Bible says that my name was written in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, before the foundation of the world. God came up with a plan before I ever came into existence that I might know Him. And He knew and He knows who it is that's going to receive Him. Okay? So my name is written in that book before the foundation of the world. And so is yours. Your name is got a, there's a line's got your name on it. Now you know what you might be saying, well, Prescott, you don't really think that you got pen and ink in heaven. You know what? It doesn't matter whether they got pen and ink in heaven. The point is your name in the book? That's the point. See, is your name there? Have you received Christ? Okay, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, what is the Word? It's the idea, it's the concept, it's the plan whereby God says, I want to know humanity. And so here's what He says next. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's interesting to me, because the Word was with God when? Before it was in the beginning. But the interesting thing is, it says with. Okay, Dennis, come. Okay. I sort of used this illustration last week, but you'll do for this week. Okay? Okay? Now walk with me. How many of us is there? Two. You sure? How do you know? He's walking with me, isn't he? See, watch. There's two of us. One, two, because He is with me. If He wasn't with me, you can go sit down. See, if He wasn't with me, now there's only one. Okay? It's the interesting thing. The Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, the idea, the concept, the reason, the purpose, the plan of God. And then it says, and the Word was with God. Somehow the Word is distinct and separate from God. Because otherwise, it would not be with. Okay? The Word is distinct. The Word is separate. Well, somehow, it's almost as if God is, well, how in the world can the Word be distinct and separate from God, particularly when it says, and the Word was God. How can that be? How can the Word be with God and was God? Think about it. Look over at verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten. You know what? Think about this. Okay. I got a plan. God's got a plan. That plan is, how can I create a people for myself to know me and to love me? And here's His plan. Hey, you know what? I got to create these people. If they're going to love me, they got to have free choice to reject me. Well, some of them are. In fact, all of them are. So you know what? You know what that plan has? You know what that plan has in mind? The plan has the cross in mind. The Word, before the foundation of the world, before it has the cross in mind, because God's plan, His logos, is to create a people unto Himself, a people to know Him. And He cannot do that unless He does something about your sin. He cannot do that unless He does something about my sin. And here's where Christ comes in. Here's where the Word becomes flesh. Because if you think about the Word is God's plan to establish relationship with man, God cannot accomplish His Word unless He shows up in human flesh. He can't. Christ, how big is your Jesus? How big is He? Because Christ is the essential ingredient whereby God accomplishes His plan. Oh, so you say Christ is just a prophet. And you can go to it. You take a little Jesus, take a little bit of Muhammad, take a little bit of the Buddha, take a little bit of, you know what? No, you don't have it right. No, biblically, Christ is the essential ingredient whereby the Logos is accomplished. And the reason why the text says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, is because the idea of God included the cross, and the cross had to be actualized by the only begotten Son of God, and that Son was born in human flesh in order to die, to take our sins upon Himself. You know what John 10 says? John 10, verse 8, here's what it says. It says that Christ, by His own initiative, stay with me, I'm almost done, I got just a couple of points now. Stay with me, I promise, just come on. It says Christ took the initiative. Christ took, you know, if I take the initiative, you know what that means? That means that nobody's going to tell me what to do. If I'm going to take the initiative, if I'm going to take the initiative to stand up here behind this, I've got to walk up there myself. If I'm going to take the initiative to put money in the offering plate, I've got to take it out of my pocket. I can take the initiative to turn myself on or off with this. That sound? I don't have sound. Because I can take the initiative. When Christ takes the initiative, that means Christ does it. The scripture says, Christ, John 10, verse 8 says, Christ says, I have the authority to lay my life down. I've been given that by God. When was Christ given the authority? You know when Christ was given the authority to lay His life down and then to take it up by His own initiative? Before we were ever formed. Christ was given that authority before the universe ever came into existence. And so now, the Logos of God, who becomes flesh, is Christ, whose purpose is to die on a cross. And so in John chapter 12, what Christ will say, when the Gentiles come to me, come to Him, He said, oh my goodness, He said, now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Oh no, for this hour I have come. Now say, no, see, the Logos become flesh. It's Christ who is the Logos, the idea, the reason, the wisdom and plan of God to create a people established and called by His name. And that can only take place if He takes their sin upon Himself and creates a relationship between a holy God and an unholy people. And now, you know what can happen? Now, here's what it says. Verse 3. Because Christ has taken the authority to become God in human flesh, what God says is this. Verse 3. All things came into being by Him. Apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In other words, God has the means, the wherewithal because of His Son. He has the means, the wherewithal, and the method to accomplish salvation in Jesus Christ. And so now, Christ, according to Isaiah 53, verse 12, is allotted, apportioned with the great, because He has taken on the sins of the world. He has rendered Himself, stay with me, He's rendered Himself a guilt offering, and because He's rendered Himself a guilt offering, God has allotted Him a portion with the great. And so now, because of who Christ is, how big is your Jesus? How big is your Jesus? Do you realize that apart from Jesus Christ, you would not be alive? God gave Him the authority to go to the cross, and because He took it up, He then said, now, this is the plan. Bring them into existence so we can claim a people called by my name. Oh, you don't think so? Listen to Colossians 1. Listen to this. So I'll close right here. Colossians 1. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. Listen to Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him, that's by Christ, by Christ all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and the invisible. That means the things that you can see with your eye, but it also means the spiritual realm. It means everything up there that we can't see. Thank goodness we can't see it, because we would be scared to death. It says Christ created the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. Why have all things been created? Because he is the essential ingredient to the Logos. Take Christ out and the plan fails. Ladies, let me ask, you ever cook something and you left out the main ingredient? Okay, Melissa did. What was it, Melissa? How did it taste? Not very good. You take out, let me ask you, banana split. Anybody like banana splits? What if you took the bananas out? Anybody like strawberry shortcake? What if you took the strawberries out? What am I saying? You know what? Hey, you know what? It's the main ingredient. Take the main ingredient out, who is Christ. It's Jesus. Take him out and nothing works. How big is your Jesus? You think you don't need him? You think you can make it to God apart from Christ? You think you don't need to worship him? You think you don't need to glorify him? No, Christ is the essential ingredient. He is the key to the door to heaven. You don't have the key, you don't get to heaven. That's how it works. You see, how to preach. What happens when the church of Jesus loses the significance of their only begotten Son? It fails. But in Christ, we can do all things. Yea, Father. Yay, 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 yay. I bless your glorious name. I bless the awesome, magnificent Logos. Word become flesh. Eternal Word. No beginning, no end. Separate from God, but God. God in human flesh. Now there is worth to the Son of Man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is someone here this morning who's yet to receive, who's yet to open their hands to the only begotten Son of God. I come to bring testimony. First, that you must have a Savior. Secondly, that he is Jesus the Christ.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. Third, He knocks on the door of your heart this morning, that He might grant you a gift that lasts for eternity, beginning this day. In a moment we will sing, "It is my prayer in Jesus' name, the Spirit of God would reveal the Christ to you today, and you would wait not another day, for He is worthy. Yea, Father, bless your holy name. Fall on us, Holy Spirit. We will give you praise. For it's in the name of the only begotten One that we pray. Amen."